Welcome to Out in the Bay, queer radio from San Francisco. I'm Christopher Beal. In 2015, our guest, James Siegel, launched Literary Speakeasy. It's a monthly literary show at Martuni's Piano Bar at the corner of Market and Valencia in San Francisco.
Not only is it just a lot of fun, but it's also like when you get some like really great writers in there, just this really great sense of community. It's so strange to actually not be able to hear much noise in a place that should be a loud bar.
A few years after that, they created Queens Read Celebrity Autobiographies, which, as the name suggests, draws humor from the scandals and silliness in the pages of celebrity autobiographies.
Let's find out about Jenna Jameson. Until the day they bury me, a discarded pile of flesh, bones, and silicone.
That's Cruzin DeLu reading from porn star Jenna Jameson's memoir at Queens Read Celebrity Autobiographies a few years ago. This year's event is hosted by James Siegel and features drag royalty like Sister Roma and BB Sweetbriar and our other guest, Elsa Touche.
She's gorgeous. She's ageless. Somewhere between 40 and death, probably. Her wardrobe is fantastic. I mean, some of it costs literally fives of dollars, some of the things that she wears. So yeah, Elsa, I am a work of art.
And later this half hour, we visit a barbecue with reporter Lucen Mendel for a lesson in pronouns.
I'm Lucen. My pronouns are they, them.
I'm Louisa. Pronouns they, them, she, her.
Up first, Queens Read Celebrity Autobiographies. Today, Out in the Bay. James Siegel is a poet, author, and the host of Literary Speakeasy each month at Martuni's. James, welcome to Out in the Bay. How did Literary Speakeasy begin, and what is it?
Literary Speakeasy, to me, is just a really good time to have on the last Thursday of every month. It takes place at Martuni's. Ever since I moved to San Francisco, I got involved in writing groups and going to literary readings and even like doing some, especially like in the queer community. And after doing that for many years, I took a break and I wanted to get back to it and to do something fun. And I was like, what should I do? And I was like, well, readings with really big, gigantic martinis. And so I went to Martuni's and they always do shows in their little back room there where they play piano, they piano karaoke like every week. I just said, hey, would you mind if I do like a show here and there? And they were totally cool with it. The guy who owns Martuni's, his name is Skip. He's like the best. And we started getting a good crowd of people when we would do these little events there. And it got to the point where Skip gave me a standing date to do it the last Thursday of every month. So we have been chugging along for almost 7 years now in June. And what I do is I get poets, I get writers, I get the occasional songwriter if I can find them. And it is just a fun hour and a half of like the best Bay Area literary talent that I can find. And we just have like a really good time having the best drinks that there are in town also. And not only is it just a lot of fun, but it's also like when you get some like really great writers in there, just this really great sense of community. It's so strange to actually not be able to hear much noise in a place that should be a loud bar. So it's wonderful. And so that's how it all came about. It was just, how do I take something that I love, that I'm passionate about, and bring people together? We've been doing it for 7 years now.
Would you say that San Francisco is a hotbed for literary talent?
Oh, definitely. But Bay Area, for sure. I mean, I feel like San Francisco, there's a lot going on. I think that sometimes it can be a little hard to find because, you know, there's so many other great communities out there, things that are happening in Oakland and in all parts of the Bay. So, yeah, I mean, it's there's a definite wonderful community. So when you get in there, you start to meet people and it's a very, very supportive, wonderful writing community that we have in San Francisco and the Bay Area.
How do you curate the acts for Literary Speakeasy?
I feel like I have been around long enough that you meet somebody and then they know somebody. Everybody always, well, and this would make it seem like a hotbed. Everybody around here always has a book coming out. So it's like, and people want to promote stuff. So it's like, what writers in the Bay Area have something going on? And I just, you know, I ask them and, you know, we've had so many wonderful people over the years that then I bring people back, and it's a job that has gotten easier and easier over time, because there are people who are, come out and have a martini and read my book. It's like, of course. So it's just getting out there and meeting people. That's what it's all about.
It seems to me that the event is equitable as well, probably by design. Like, there's the free raffle. There's no drink minimum. Are you really trying to create like a community space around this event?
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, the no drink minimum was something that Martuni's brought up. They said they want people to just come, and if they want to experience it, not feel pressured to have to drink, which I think is absolutely amazing. The free raffle was something that I stole from somebody else. It is a great way to not only get people to come out, but stay till the end of your show. So I give them a free raffle ticket, and we give away some sort of prize. It will usually be some books from the people who are reading that night. You know, sometimes, you know, it's like, you don't want to be too shady, but, you know, you have some of these readings where people show up, and when their friend reads, they leave. So it's like, that is my way of cutting that off. So it's like, stay till the end, you'll win something. So that's a little more, I wish I could say it's about community, but it's more bribing people to come and stay.
How did Literary Speakeasy stay alive during the pandemic, during the shutdown? Because wasn't happening at Martuni's, right?
No, I mean, we had to do what like everybody was doing, and it would get a little exhausting, but we had to go onto Zoom. I mean, we didn't have to, but as the pandemic just kept going and kept going, it was like, I don't want to like lose the interest or the motivation, or even just like lose the people that I'm already in contact with. And I don't want people to think, oh, well, Literary Speakeasy's dead. So I was like, all right, we'll do the Zoom just like everybody else has been doing it. And so we did it once a month, last Thursday of every month over Zoom. But also I didn't want to like, during the pandemic, we were just all on our computers all the time. So it's like, I also felt like I need to find another reason to get people to get back on their computers again at night to watch something. So every month during the pandemic, I connected with another nonprofit or another organization that needed help or funds. And so we would promote them at each show. So over the year, we just, whoever needed it, we spotlighted them and we made an event about it. So it was more than just getting on Zoom and listening to people read. It was celebrating stuff out there, people who are doing some good stuff.
So the event not only focuses on Bay Area literary talent, but also helps out local businesses in the community here in the Bay Area.
It was for that year. And so I want to start doing more of that. And that's really also the Queens Read Celebrity Autobiographies event that's coming up. That's the big thing that I feel like I can do every year. Of course, we didn't get to do that during the pandemic either, but that's another thing that we can do. And it's a great excuse to get money to a really great organization that does really great work.
We're going to talk more about that event coming up here in just a minute. But first, you are also, in fact, an author and a poet. That's how you and I first met, was through your book, The God of San Francisco, which I think is just incredible. I'm a big fan of the book. And I wonder if you wouldn't mind reading a poem from that book.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And also this book came out during the pandemic. So thank you very much for helping me promote it. I'll read the shortest poem in the book. How about that?
Sounds great.
So this is called Gay Men Do Not Die Anymore. We say gay men do not die anymore. Just swallow down a cocktail, one small pill. They search the bars for something to live for. They wash up on the San Francisco shore believing youth is immortality. We say gay men do not die anymore. Young, drunk demigods crossing the dance floor, free from any thoughts of those death mask days. They search the bars for something to live for. Castro bartenders have a heavy pour, so we drink for all those no longer here. We say gay men do not die anymore. I worry when they stumble out the door because I know they won't be going home. They search the bars for something to live for. One night they will learn this is all folklore. We age, still dying every day for love. We say gay men do not die anymore. They search the bars for something to live for.
That's author James Siegel reading from his book, The God of San Francisco. You're listening to Out in the Bay, queer radio from San Francisco. I'm Christopher Beale. We'll hear more about Literary Speakeasy and their event, Queens Read Celebrity Autobiographies, in just a second. But did you know that Out in the Bay is a completely nonprofit, fan-supported production? We don't receive funds from NPR or podcast platforms or the stations that air Out in the Bay every week. You are our financial lifeline. If you like what you hear on Out in the Bay, consider making a donation at outinthebay.org. That's outinthebay.org. Your support helps to keep this show going. Oh, and if you have a suggestion for a future show or just want to reach out to our team directly, you can do that at outinthebay@yahoo.com. In 2016, Literary Speakeasy launched an event called Queens Read Celebrity Autobiographies at Martoonies, and the event quickly outgrew that space and moved to the main stage at Oasis just a few years later. That tradition carries on this year. James, I'm going to invite you to stick around, and I want to welcome one of the stars of this year's event, drag performer, actor, and cat parent, Elsa Touche. Welcome to Out in the Bay.
Hi, thanks so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's great to have you here. This, of course, is an audio program, Elsa, and our listeners can't see your fabulosity. So I wonder if you could describe Elsa Touche. Like, who is she? What does she look like? What is her fantasy?
Well, she's a beloved San Francisco drag queen, and I always like to say beloved, hoping that someday it will come true. Like, if I keep repeating it, it will happen. She's gorgeous. She's ageless, somewhere between 40 and death, probably. She has a shock of absolutely beautiful white hair or purple hair or turquoise hair, and it's all natural, darling. Her wardrobe is fantastic. I mean, some of it costs literally fives of dollars, some of the things that she wears. So yeah, Elsa, I am a work of art, an inspiration, an icon. I am the moment. What more do you need to know?
I think you covered it, all of it there.
All right, good. It was hard to talk about myself so grandly. I am a very modest drag queen. So,
when did you start doing drag, Elsa?
Quite a long time ago. I am not a young drag queen anymore. I've been around probably too long. People wish I would leave.
Did you start here in San Francisco?
I did. I lived in San Francisco for most of my adult life. Yeah, so I started here. Here, so many good things start here. I'm one of them.
So you're being joined at this event, Queens Read Celebrity Autobiographies, by some drag royalty, San Francisco drag royalty, like BB Sweetbriar, Snacks, Sister Roma, a few others. Frankly, a hilarious group of talent, really.
Icons. Well, this event is always curated very well, and it's absolutely hilarious. And this year is no exception. Amazing, amazing drag artists are lined up. It's going to be a lot of fun. I've done this event once before, and I had so much fun. It was absolutely hilarious, and I've gone to see it before. It's so fun because the choices that the drag artists make of the books they read are so hilarious. Celebrity autobiographies is a literary form that is like no other. I think often it's because the writers, the memoirists, the writers in quotation marks, are so detached from reality that having another layer of surreality put on top of it, a drag queen reading it, makes it all the more hilarious.
What is it about this genre of book that's so ridiculous, though? There does seem to be a thread, but what is it?
Well, for example, the first time I did this show, I read from one of my favorite books. It is a book that lives on my coffee table. It's a coffee table book, picture book, called Elizabeth Taylor, My Love Affair with Jewelry. And in it, it's just Elizabeth Taylor basically going through her jewelry box, and there's a photo of the piece. And then she tells the story of where and how she got it. And it's all just so detached from reality and so ridiculous. And only someone like Elizabeth Taylor could describe getting a $1 million ruby necklace as simply another exquisite summer day with her husband, Mike, whom she calls the only love of her life in this book. Like, I'm sorry, other husbands, only Mike Todd made the cut. It's just so funny. People choose the craziest things to read. And sometimes it's, you know, a celebrity's book of poetry. I've seen selections from Suzanne Summers' book of poems read. I think because, again, there's a level of detachment from reality and self-delusion. And darling, that's drag, if I've ever heard a description of it. So detachment from reality and self-delusion. Hey, that's Elsa too. Exactly.
James, do you have a favorite celebrity autobiography?
Oh my gosh. I kind of do. I think that the one that has been done quite a few times over the 7 years, and I encourage it every time. I really love Vanna White's autobiography. I think it's one of my absolute favorites because it's very, she writes about it in a very important way, how I don't know if difficult the job is, but there's page after page of letter turning and how she got the job and why, and Merv said that out of like the 2,000 women that auditioned, she could turn the letters better than any of them. And it's that delusion. It's also, what else was, oh, and then she talks about in the book, she says, it's not the most intellectually challenging job. Few jobs are. And so it's one of my favorites.
I love it.
You have to respect the hustle, right?
Yeah, a little bit, but it's also like, I just can't do it any justice. But when you've seen a drag queen read about the being a cheerleader and it's just these stories about giving cards, it makes no sense, but it's such much importance is put on it. And so when you read it, it's just, you just have to laugh because it's like, I can't believe that this was a big bestseller back in the day, but I guess it was. So
it is always good in the celebrity autobiographies too, when the celebrities, because they have personal relationships with other stars. Like the one I'm reading for this event is by Liz Renee, who was a D-list actress and basically known for being beautiful in the 40s, 50s, and 60s. And she talks about the men that she slept with in Hollywood in exquisite detail. And that's always fun to hear juicy gossip about Burt Lancaster, darling. When's the last time he came up in conversation? Well, he will at this edition of Queens Read Celebrity Autobiographies.
And when was the last time he came up in a sexual context in conversation? Yeah.
A long time ago, but apparently he was a magnificent lover, and we'll hear all about it.
James, you're hosting this year's event, and it's benefiting an organization called Foglifter Press. What is that?
Yes. So Foglifter Press is this amazing press based in San Francisco, and they've been around for several years now, but they are a LGBTQ press. They put out a biannual journal. They also do events, but the thing that makes Foglifter so great is that they are specifically publishing the work of queer writers, especially queer writers that are from marginalized communities, even multiple marginalized communities. So they do, everyone in the book is someone who's in the LGBTQ community, but they also are looking to publish those people of color, people who have disabilities, elevating those voices that we don't get to hear that much. And they're a completely nonprofit. Everything that they do just comes from the funds that are donated and the money they raise. And really what they're doing is very important because it's giving a face and a voice to voices that we don't get to hear that often. So we raised money for them in the last Queens Read, which I can't believe has already been 3 years ago. But and I just thought they are perfect fits. I love what they do. And so let's bring them back 3 years later and raise money for them again.
Okay, this is an obvious question, and it's for both of you. But with everything else happening in San Francisco on a Sunday night, why should folks check out Queens Read Celebrity Autobiographies?
Well, darling, I'm in it, and you're not going to see me at any other event on that night. So do you need another reason? I'm actually insulted by the question. It's not only for a great cause. It's a hilarious evening. I've been a part of it as a performer, and I've been a part of it in the audience, and it is so full of laughs, and it's so much fun. And it's at Oasis, and they have a fantastic bar there, if that's your thing as well. And I can't think of a better way to spend an evening, to be honest. James, what do you think?
I think that you summed it up perfectly. Oasis is such a great venue. It's going to be hysterical. I mean, first of all, it's like the fact that I've got Sister Roma, I'm still like, there's how is she doing this little show that I'm putting together? But, you know, it's also like money's going to a great cause. We also, we're going to be selling raffle tickets. We should probably have some cute go-go boys who will be selling those raffle tickets. Also got like a nice VIP section with a catwalk, which I'm really hoping those go-go's might be able to find some time to use before the show. So come for the drag, come for the go-go's, come for the prizes. It's just going to be an amazing, hysterical night with really bad celebrity memoirs.
And you're not going to hear about Burt Lancaster's genitalia at any other event this evening. And I'm going to tell you all about it. Thank you, Liz Renee, memoirist.
If that doesn't hook you into coming, nothing will.
Word choices, James. Word choices. Where can people catch up with you both on social media and keep in touch with you?
Well, you can follow me at Charles and Elsa, all one word, Charles and Elsa on Instagram. And I don't do this to other drag artists without their consent, but I do accept naughty pictures in my DMs. So you can follow me there and do that, darlings.
I wish I could say the same, but if people want to, I'm James Siegel, poet on Instagram, if they really want to find me. But yeah, I also look up Literary Speakeasy on Facebook. There's, you know, I post all of our events there. So that's a good way. It's a very good way to find me.
James Siegel, host of Literary Speakeasy at Martuni's, and Elsa Touche, both of whom you'll see on stage March 20th at Oasis for Queens Read Celebrity Autobiographies. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me.
You're listening to Out in the Bay, queer radio from San Francisco. My guests were James Siegel and Elsa Touche. You can catch them on stage at Oasis on March 20th with Queens Read Celebrity Autobiographies. Tickets and info at the post for this week's show at outinthebay.org. Up next on Out in the Bay, a story about pronouns. Like, mine are he, him, his. Yours may be completely different from that, but it seems that we're using our pronouns more and more in conversation these days, especially when meeting new people out at a bar, maybe in a workspace, or at a backyard barbecue. Here's reporter Lucen Mendel with a story about pronouns.
I'm Lucen Mendel. My pronouns are they, them, and that thing I just did, where I introduce myself with my name and my pronouns. I do that a lot.
I'm Lucen. My pronouns are they, them.
I'm Louisa. Pronouns they, them, she, her.
I'm True. They, them, theirs.
Okay. I feel like I'm going to mess this up already, but I'll try.
That's
okay.
My friend, so, Carrie.
I use pronouns she, her.
That's from a barbecue I had recently with a bunch of friends. Something happened that had never happened before. With straight people. Everyone introduced themselves with their pronouns.
I think that was my first time saying them. I didn't want to get the wrong, like, tense. Like, am I supposed to say she, hers, her, their? Like, I don't know. I don't, the format.
Here's the thing. We were about to play a game, but then my friend,
Jean-Francois, he, him,
asked point blank,
why do we say, like, he, him, and not just he?
And that sparked a whole conversation. So I made new friends. No, but I wanted to know the real answer, so I called an expert.
I'm Lal Zimmern. My pronouns are he or they, and I'm an associate professor of linguistics at UC Santa Barbara.
Lal studies how language and social norms change, including why we say he, him, his, even though everybody knows how to use he pronouns.
Might be because of the now less popular neo-pronouns like Z and here.
Quick background on neo-pronouns. People have been creating alternate pronouns since at least the 1850s, but they became more widespread in the 90s thanks to the internet. One popular set of neo-pronouns is Z here. That's Z spelled Z-E and here spelled H-I-R. Instead of saying, I'll make him an offer he can't refuse, you'd say, I'll make here an offer Z can't refuse. People created numerous neo-pronouns for numerous reasons, and sometimes the sets overlapped.
Back in the day, there was a lot of Z-zier, and so you might want to distinguish, are you Z-zier or Z-here?
That's zier with a Z versus here with an H. We haven't even gotten to the complicated part yet. You see, you might know two people who used Z-zier, but one used Z's for the possessive case and the other used Z's. For people who use he, him, his pronouns, his is the possessive case. For example, I borrowed his book. For people who use zeer, zeers versus zeer, zees, you might say I borrowed zeer's book versus I borrowed zee's book. It's a lot to keep track of.
So if you're talking about a new set of pronouns, you might need all three of them to understand, okay, these are the three pronouns to use. I think that as they, them has become the prominent third pronoun, that doesn't come up as much because you use the same pronoun forms you would any other time you're saying they.
I borrowed their book. In 2020, the Trevor Project surveyed 40,000 queer youth and found that only 4% used neopronouns. However, 20% used they pronouns, either alone, like me, or in combination, like Lau.
Or he or they and I.
My Gen X and Millennial barbecue had the same stat. 20% of the circle used they. Of course, the killer stat, the reason I'm making this piece at all, is that 100% of my friends included pronouns in their intros. I'm no longer the only person Rumpelstiltskining myself. You get it? Because no one can guess how to refer to me? Think about when you want to make new friends or go on dates or hang out at a barbecue, and you're feeling a little daunted by having to talk to strangers. The most important thing you can do in order to make a connection is introduce yourself and pause conversation so newcomers can do the same. Making introductions friendlier is huge, even if it is terrifying at first.
People who are new to giving their own pronouns sometimes struggle a little bit with producing all three of them. And if the pronouns are part of a predictable set, then it might be just as helpful to say just I go by he and not he, him, his.
My own introduction continues to change. It's been a few years since I've added theirs to they, them. Now I'm making my next barbecue intro even simpler. I'm Lucen, and I use they pronouns.
You just said, I don't know what pronouns are, and I won't learn, cause learning's hard. Instead, I'll regurgitate a half-baked stolen opinion.
This piece was reported and produced by me, Lucen Mendel. Special thanks to Lal Zimmern, Carrie F., Jean-Francois, Louisa, True, Hannah Wilson, and Eric Jansen. Outro music by Austin Archer.
You've been listening to Out in the Bay, queer radio from San Francisco. My guests were James Siegel and Elsa Touche. Queens Read Celebrity Autobiographies is happening this weekend at Oasis. Tickets and info in the post for this week's show at outinthebay.org. That's where you can hear and share our shows with a friend. You can also sign up for our occasional email newsletter so you don't miss any episodes, and subscribe to the Out in the Bay podcast right there as well. Please also consider making a donation while you're there. It helps us keep bringing queer air to your ears. Out in the Bay is a nonprofit independent production, which means we don't get financial support from the radio stations that air Out in the Bay every week. NPR doesn't send us any money, nor do podcast platforms. We rely on support from listeners like you. We want to thank Brad Payton and Richard Merck of Silicon Valley for their generous support, and Cornelia Enders and Bud Dylan of San Francisco. And note that we'll only thank you on the air if you say it's okay for us to do so. Thanks to KALW 91.7 FM in the San Francisco Bay Area and San Francisco Public Press and its radio station KSFP 102.5 FM for broadcasting Out in the Bay weekly. If you want to join our team, it's really easy to do that. Just email us at outinthebay@yahoo.com to learn more. You can also send comments and questions there too. That's outinthebay@yahoo.com. Our theme music was written and performed by Holly Mead. I'm Christopher Beal. I produced this episode and engineered it. Our executive producer is Eric Jansen. Oh, and a little update on Eric. He had surgery a few weeks ago, but he's doing great. He's on the mend, and he'll be back out in the bay soon. Until next time, I'm Christopher Beal. Thanks for joining me this week out in the bay and at outinthebay.org. Thank you.